woke up to the horrific, heart-wrenching, and devastating news of the Palestinian terrorist group called Hamas launching a coordinated land and sea and air assault that took Israel by surprise. At least 1,400 Israelis were reported to have been brutally killed in these savage, barbaric-like attacks, the deadliest day of Israel since its independence in May of 1948, or since the Holocaust, for that matter. And then another 4,200, approximately, were injured, and some 199 people taken hostage. Huge answer to prayer. Two U.S. citizens were just freed as hostages. How many believe this is a huge and bold letter sign of the end times? Big, big, bold letter sign for sure, most definitely. How do we know this? Well, Jesus himself was in fact asked this very question by his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. And here is that teaching of that moment of Jesus while he sat on a mountainside with his disciples. And listen to what Jesus said here in Matthew 24, picking it up here at verse 3 of Matthew 24. Jesus said this. Well, the background there, they'd asked the question, they'd asked the disciples, asked Jesus this actual question. They asked him, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They actually asked Jesus that very question that we're asking today. And then Jesus answered and said to them, this is the words of Jesus. If you have your Bible and it's in red letter, you know that any red letter words are the words of Jesus in your Bible. And this is what Jesus said. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear, listen to this now, of wars and rumors of wars. And we're seeing that more and more. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences or diseases and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated. This is talking about during the tribulation time when many will be persecuted for their faith and not taking the mark of the beast. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, seeing that today. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of money or love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Title of today's message is The Signs of the End Times. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Lord, we're living in a difficult day and age, and yet, Lord, an exciting age to know that we could be living in the day when Jesus comes for his church, and we will be raptured with him, all who know Jesus. And yet, Lord, for those without Jesus, it's a very fearful time to be living in, with the uncertainty of the future in so many ways, and what's all happening in our world today. So, Lord, guide us now in these few thoughts, these few moments, as we look into your word here today, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're beginning today a mini-series of Bible prophecy as we're thinking of what's happening over in the Holy Land of Israel today and the terrible killings that took place there and the impending war that is breaking out there in the Middle East today. Or we could call it Rapture Ready Message, a Rapture Ready series. David Jeremiah, just looking at his recent series, and he's making that available to local churches, and it's actually called that, Rapture Ready. And we need to be rapture ready today, not scaring people to come to Jesus, but just making people aware that this could be the last years before the last time before our Lord Jesus returns for his church and ushers in the great tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, which will be happening. You can read about that in Revelation chapters 4 through to chapter 18. And we believe that Jesus is going to come for the church. For that is for all believers in Jesus Christ, all followers of Jesus Christ who are the church today. Jesus said in John 14, 1 and 3, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then he said this, "I go to prepare a place for you," that is you who are my followers, the followers of Yeshua or Jesus. "And if I go and prepare a place," Jesus said this, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." So Jesus says he's coming again. Do we believe he's coming again? Yes, he's going to come again for the church in the rapture. He's not going to come to the earth, but he's going to come in the clouds and he's going to catch all believers, the church, up to be with him. And we will be with him during those 7-year great tribulation years. And we will be with him. And then we will return with him to reign with him and to be with him in the battle of Armageddon when he actually returns to the earth and the Mount of Olives. And he will wipe out the enemy nations that will invade Israel. So that's 7 years away from whatever's happening right now. Okay, so we know things are intensified for sure as we think in light of what's happening in our world today. And the Word of God also says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, "Wait for his Son Jesus from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come." So we know that Jesus is going to come and deliver us from the great tribulation, that is the church. And we as a local church hold to that view of the pre-tribulational return of our Lord Jesus, that Jesus is going to come for the church of Jesus Christ, his followers, those who know Jesus, and he's going to come for us and take us to be with him. When will our Lord come and rapture his church to join him in the clouds? Could it be now? Could it be this year? Well, I kind of hope so, because I don't like living in this world. I really don't. I'd rather be with Jesus because of the way our world is today. But and then the Lord Jesus taught us to pray that, "Lord Jesus, come quickly and take your church out of here." But we do know for sure that when he will return, We know that for sure, that he will return at some time. In fact, Jesus himself said in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows." That is the day of our Lord's coming. No one knows when he's going to come for the church. Not even the angels of heaven know exactly when he's going to come. But my Father only, Jesus says. So some men and women, as you know, have set dates as to when Jesus is going to come. They set a particular year and a particular day, and that he's going to come, and they try to do that, and they are humiliated when their predictions fail. And you know many of those situations that their predictions fail, because we cannot predict when he's going to come. And it's wrong for us to predict when Jesus will come, because none of us know exactly when Jesus is going to come for his church. We know he's coming, but we don't know when. And Jesus said himself in Matthew 24:33, "When you see all these things happening, like in the day prior to the flood, when evil abounded, know that it is near." Know that his coming is near for his return. So we as a local church, as I said, hold to that pre-tribulation view of Christ's return. So we begin our series, our mini-series on Bible prophecy today. And we'll be doing that for a few more Sundays moving forward here. But we want to consider this morning some of the signs of the end times. Some of the signs of the end times that are taught in Scripture to kind of make us more aware. Not to scare anybody, but just to educate you and make you aware of these signs that are very evident today, that we're getting very close to when Jesus will come for his church, the bride of Christ. And we're going to look at six of these. We'll not get to mention there very, very much of them here this morning because of the time is going by, but that's okay. Let me just mention to you the end time sign number one, the return of the Jews to Israel. The return of the Jews to Israel. We're seeing that already. Let me read for you in Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah in the Old Testament chapter 32 and verse 37 here. "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries," this is the Lord speaking, "where I have driven them in my anger and my fury and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Then shall be my people, they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And then Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel, he also mentions about the gathering that will happen in the end times of the nation of Israel, of returning back to their land. And we are seeing that as never before. And he wrote those words in Ezekiel 36. Let me look at that with you. Ezekiel 36 for a moment, beginning here at verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. And then he says this, for I will take you from among the nations. We know the Jews were scattered among all nations over the world back in the early church days. They were scattered because of fear and persecution. And then, so we have Jews all over the world in all the different nations. But many are returning to Israel today, their homeland. And that's a fulfillment of Scripture. And that's another sign of our Lord's return, as he says here, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land, that is the land of Israel. And hallelujah, that is happening today. We see this prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. In 2006, for the first time in 1900 years, Israel became the home to the largest Jewish community in the world, surpassing the Jewish population in the United States. From 650,000 who returned when the Jewish state was founded in May of 1948, the population of Israel swelled to 6 million by 2020. And now the latest Google stats tells us that Israel's 2023 population is 9,215,000 people. Do you see the return of the Jewish people to their homeland is happening right before our eyes in ways that are just amazing, and prophecy is being fulfilled. End time number two. The phenomenal natural disasters in our world. Are we seeing those as never before escalating today? And they're scary, and they're frightening, and definitely a concern for us all. We're talking about escalating rise of famines from healthy drinking water and food, earthquakes, add hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis and fires, large-scale fires, major flooding, mudslides, and of course pestilences or diseases. And as we read here and read early in Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus that question. Remember what they asked him? Lord, tell us, when are all these things going to be? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And in the following verses, there in Matthew 24, he lists the distinct signs of the end times. These are the birth pains, if you would, that will increase as time draws closer to the Lord's return. These birth pains, if you would, are going to intensify on a greater scale, even as a mother and her birth pains intensify closer to the birth of that little baby being born, and this will happen. And one of those signs is famines. In Matthew 24, verse 7, the Lord Jesus speaks of famines. Are we seeing that in unbelievable ways and manners today? We definitely are. Starvation in countries and lack of good drinking water, lack of food in many, many countries today. For example, I just Googled one country, one particular country, and that's Somalia, an African country. Somalia was hit with its fifth year in a row of failed rainy seasons. So you can imagine 5 years in a row of not having any rain, or very little. You can imagine how that's affecting their water supply, their drinking supply, as well as their crops and their food being harvested or produced. Nearly half of its population, that's almost 8 million people, face famine in Somalia. 1.8 million children are threatened with malnutrition in that one country alone. That's hard to wrap our minds around, is it not? That's just one of the many countries, friends, facing a famine of drinking water and food. Two more of the end time signs are also in verse 7 of Matthew 24, and that's pestilences or diseases. Are we seeing those more than ever before? Like chronic lung or kidney diseases, like cancer, like STD diseases, like HIV and AIDS and herpes and hepatitis and other diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's and dementia and multiple sclerosis, not to mention COVID-19 and how we were devastated with that terrible disease, a world devastation of that virus and the deadly virus at that. And the other signs of the end times are earthquakes. In verse 7 here, some 15,438 earthquakes in 2022 alone. And already over 14,000 earthquakes in 2020 going on in our world. Then you could add the increase of natural disasters in our world, like hurricanes and tsunamis and flooding, mudslides and fires, etc. With that said, in order for these natural catastrophes to become a sign of the end times, they must all appear at approximately the same time and in an intensified form. And dear ones, that is happening today. As never before, there are more famines, more diseases, more earthquakes, more hurricanes and floods and fires in a larger magnitude than ever before. Jesus is coming soon. That's the good news. Are we ready for him to come? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ so that you're ready if he were to come and take us out of this old world that will not get better? The Bible says that things will wax worse and worse. And I don't mean to be a pessimist or a doom forecast guy. I don't believe that. I'm a very positive, upbeat guy. But friends, it's not looking good, and it's not going to get better. This world is not going to get better. There's hardships to come, and there's more earthquakes and pestilences and diseases, etc., to come until the Lord returns for his church, for sure. So look up, church. Our redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready, and we need to be living for him. End time sign number 3, and that is a widespread of apostasy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times," or end times, "some will depart from the faith." The words "depart" here in that text come from a Greek word, apostasia, from which we get our word apostasy. And the word apostasy can be defined as to fall away, a willful turning away from the truths of the Christian faith. And are we seeing this more than ever before? We are. And sadly enough, Satan used COVID-19 to drive many away from the church today. Sadly enough, but that's showing their true colors, that they've never come to faith in Jesus Christ. They've never been truly born again. You can sit in church and not be a believer. Yeah, and you can read your Bible and not be a believer. And so we're seeing that. We're seeing a turning away from the Christian faith by many professing believers today, and even gospel preachers or pastors that are turning away from their Christian faith today that you would have never imagined. But it's happening, friends, today. You see, this is the apostasy. This is a widespread turning away from the faith that we're seeing today. End time sign number 4 is a pre-flood and sodomite conditions. I'm just going to mention a scripture passage here, and then I'm not going to say much on this this morning. Luke chapter 17, again, these are Jesus' words, and listen to what Jesus said. He said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate and they drank and they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built. But on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Notice what Jesus says, verse 30. "Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And I have to ask myself, and we all need to ask ourselves, are we living in those days today? Are we living in those days of Noah? Pre-flood days, when there was wickedness and evil, and when there was lustful living, and there was violence, and there was gay living, etc. And are we living in those days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Are we ever? We are living in those days. So Jesus said, look, be ready. The Son of Man is going to come when you see those days upon this earth. End time sign number 5. Is hypocritical Christianity, marked by an increase of sin and lawlessness. And sadly, that's one of the greatest things that keeps people from church, is seeing other people professing to be believers but not living like a Christian. And they are hypocritical in nature. And that is happening today, sadly enough. hypocritical Christianity, and that just increases more sin and more lawlessness. The passage here I want us to look at is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days, that is before the Lord's return, perilous times shall come." And church, they have come. Perilous in the Greek means savage. The word perilous times, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, means savage. Aren't we living in those days right now? Savage days where there's no respect for others. There's no dignity of the human life from conception, as we've heard this morning, to old age and natural death. There's no dignity of the human life anymore. You have the killing of 1,000 of innocent babies in the mother's womb. Some 80,000 abortions per year in Canada. Common sense says put the babies up for adoption. Or if you don't want to have a baby, use contraceptives. That's common sense. But we don't have common sense anymore, do we? And this is all happening today right before our eyes. Where is the rights of that human life in the womb? Not to mention euthanasia. And then what happened in Jerusalem? I hope this has broken your heart. As a Christian, what happened over in Israel ought to break our hearts. It ought to be heart-wrenching to us. And the terrible massacre of those innocent people, little babies, elderly people, women, men, that were massacred. I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of it because it's not really a good place to do that, but you can hear about it on the news, and those news will shelter us from a lot of it, but it was barbaric. It was savage-like what they did to those innocent Israeli peoples over those period starting October the 6th for about 24 hours, apparently it happened. And it's so sad. It was so savage-like. We're living in those days right before our eyes what happened to those poor, innocent Jewish people. And we have Jewish people here, and we have Jewish people in our country, and we need to uphold them. We need to stand for Israel. We need to stand for the Jewish people, and we need to thwart anything that is anti-Semitic, friends, because they are the apple of his eye. They are his chosen people. You and I need to be standing and praying for the peace of Israel and standing for them. Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, lovers of money, or boasters, or braggers, proud, blasphemers, bitter, contemptuous words from these blasphemers, and bitter and lying words, like liberal theologians today and cults who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. That's blasphemy. Disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. We're seeing all this right before our eyes, without natural affection. That's abortion, that's sodomy, not God-given affection. Truce breakers, that describes people who will not try to agree. They are unyielding to what is biblical. They don't want to hear what the Bible says anymore. They don't want truth to be heard anymore. That's the world that we're living in. It really is, friends. And it's being prophesied, it's being told right here in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you can read about it there. And he goes on and lists other things that are happening. And these very things are happening today in our world. End time sign number 6 is worldwide evangelization. Worldwide evangelization. There is some good news in all that, isn't there? After listing a number of signs of the end times in Matthew 24, many false Christs and wars and rumors of wars and famines and diseases and earthquakes, etc. In verse 14, did you notice what Jesus said in there? And I love these words, and this is a good word for us to kind of wind down here with and head home on, is that this, that the gospel of the kingdom, listen to this now, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then notice what it says at the end. Jesus said, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. The end will come. You see, when the gospel is preached, and the last nation, the last people group, the last tribal group, the last unknown language or last language that hasn't heard the gospel in their own language, when that happens, Jesus is going to come. And with missionaries all over the world and Christian radio and television and evangelists like Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Association and David Jeremiah and Turning Point and Daystar and John Ankelberg and the internet today. There are so many ways, dear ones, that the Word of God is getting out to places that has never gone before. And people are hearing the gospel today as never before. And we believe that soon that God will use the gospel, cause the gospel to reach every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And when that happens, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. So the question is, have you heard the gospel? Have you responded to the gospel? Have you personally repented of sin and believed in the gospel that Jesus loves you? That's the good news that we want to end on here today. That he loves you, my friend. He loves you and he died for you and he shed his blood for your sins. And he rose again the third day to give you new life and to give you hope for today and hope for tomorrow. And one day to know that you're gonna go to be with him in that place called heaven. And right now you can have him in your life. You can have the peace that only Jesus can give right now. And you don't need to worry about what's going on in our world because you know Jesus is with you. And he will help you in whatever you are facing, whatever is going on in and around your life. So this worldwide evangelization will happen prior to the Lord's coming. So the signs of the times are here. Should the signs surprise us or alarm us? Well, in some ways, but in some ways not. Because Jesus said these things would happen. So if you read your Bible before, it ought not to surprise you. Right? How many of us have read our Bibles about these things? Well, they're there. You just need to open up your Bible and read them. And so for the Christian, it ought not to surprise us because Jesus said these things would happen. But as we ponder these signs of the times that are getting more intensified as we speak, it should inspire us to do a number of things. And I just want to mention these things real quickly before we close this morning. First, it ought to cause us to be readying, to make sure you're ready, dear friend, here today. It's not a mistake that you're here this morning. It's God's sovereign choice that you are here this morning to hear this message. For whatever reasons that is. And God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And he knows whether I'm ready or not to meet the Lord if he were to come today. You can make sure today by getting saved, by coming to Jesus, by repenting of your sin. That means to turn away from your sin, and it means to believe in Jesus, that he loves you, that he died on that cross for your sins, and he rose again the third day to give you new life, and to give you resurrection life, and to give you eternal life, and to give you life with God. And as you confess your faith in him, then you too can be ready for when he comes for his church. Jesus said, therefore be you ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. The Son of Man comes. So don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till another time. Now is the time. Because Jesus could come at any moment. And you do not want to be left behind. Secondly, be telling others to come to Jesus. Be telling others to come to Jesus. Remember the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4? And she was a woman who had been married about five different times. And she had one man after another man. And she met Jesus at the well. And Jesus said, I will give you living water in which you'll never thirst again. And she met Jesus. And her life was transformed as she received Jesus into her life. The true Messiah. And then she went and told everybody else. She told her family and her friends that Jesus the Messiah had come and you need Jesus too. So how about you, dear Christian? How about me? Who am I going to tell about Jesus this week? And tell them the good news of Jesus so that they can be ready for when Jesus returns. And thirdly, be looking for the Lord's return, his coming. Look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. And be thinking, perhaps today, could this be the day that our Lord Jesus comes? It could be. It could be. Fourthly, be gathering in church with other believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It's so important that you be in church, either here or somewhere else where you're going to hear about Jesus. And we trust you'll come here and be with us every Sunday. But listen to these words of the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And the writer of Hebrews gives us these words, this admonition for us here today. And he says, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. It's pretty hard to do that when we're not in church. We need to stir up one another and encourage each other by being together and doing kind words, kind acts for others. And then he says this, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, don't miss out on being in church. You are commanded as a follower of Jesus to be in church. As the manner of some is, there are those who choose not to assemble. But then he says, exhorting one another so much the more. Notice this now, as you see the day approaching. What's that day? The return of our Lord Jesus Christ that could come at any moment. The closer we get to Jesus' return, we need to be in church even more. Amen? We need to be with God's people even more. And more as we wait for the Lord's return. We need to be encouraging one another and assembling together. Assembling together. And those of you who are watching online, I encourage you to get to a local church. Break out of sitting at home. We've gone through COVID-19. Let's get back to church. Let's get back to being with God's people. Will you do that? Will you encourage your friends and families to do that too? And it's so important that we be in church. And then we be praying. Lastly, be praying. Be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, the Jews, God's special people by covenant. We are to bless Israel, not curse Israel. And if I'm anti-Semitic, I'm cursing Israel, and that's not a good place to be. I need to be blessing Israel and praying for the peace of Israel. And I need to pray that God would thwart the plans of evil men. And that's exactly what's happening by the Hamas and the Hezbollah terrorist groups. These are evil, evil men. And we need to pray for their conversion, Paul or Saul of Damascus, on the Damascus Road conversion, or that God would just take them out of this world because they are evil men. And we need to pray for the unbelieving to believe in Jesus. You have unsaved family members and friends and neighbors who need Jesus. Pray for them that they'll come to faith in Jesus and before Jesus comes. So let's be looking up, for our redemption draws nigh. Father, Lord, we've kind of rushed through this quickly here this morning, but Lord, I pray that there's been a message here for everyone. One young and old alike and in between here this morning, that you have spoken truth into our lives and the truth of Jesus. And we're so thankful that the Bible says, and Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth is Jesus. And we're not hearing about Jesus out in society today and social media and in our educational institutions. We're not hearing about Jesus anymore. We're not hearing about the Bible anymore. They've taken the Bible away from us. They've taken prayer out of our schools and Bible out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of the schools. And we wonder why our nation is in the shape that it's in today. It's because we've taken Jesus out of almost everything. But thank God for local churches that still keep Jesus in their midst and in their ministry and in their focus. And Lord, Cornerstone is all about the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to lift up his name. We want to exalt him here this morning. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that's here without Jesus this morning, I pray, Lord, that they would bow their knee, bow their heart humbly before the Lord and turn and repent of and turn from their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. Believe that he loves them and he died for them and rose again to give them new life and eternal life. And all they need to do is confess their faith in Jesus by a word of prayer. And I pray that everyone here this morning will make that decision before they leave here today or come and talk to one of us and to make sure that they're ready. Lord, if Jesus were to come today, or if we were to be killed in an accident or whatever might happen and our life is gone instantly, we pray that we'll be ready, God, ready for Jesus to come. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of Jesus. And we shall know Jesus, the truth, and he will set us free. Set us free from all troubles and trials and addictions and guilt and fear and shame and regrets. Jesus will set us free from all of that if we come to him. So we thank you for that now. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.